each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Loretta Frelick, and I am filling in for Father Anthony Bush on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. And usually Mary is here with me, but today we will hear from Mary in a few minutes on the update on the parental notification bill that's pending in the Illinois House. And so, but our first guest this morning, this afternoon, we need to get right to Mr. Lou Rago. Lou, are you there?
I'm here.
Lou, we really thank you for coming and being on the program today. You are the president of the Italian American Human Relations Foundation of Chicago, and you have a parade to put on today, right?
I do. Besides that presidency, I've been fortunate enough to have been the parade marshal for the Columbus Day Parade since 1967. I've been putting the parade on the street for all of those years, and it's a labor of love.
Well, God bless you. It's a fun parade, and I will tell you, a long time ago in a land far away when I was a young girl, I was in your parade, but that's another story for another day. Today we want to talk about the great Christopher Columbus that we celebrate with this parade and with a national day. Can you tell us about this man that you are honoring with this parade today?
Yes. Well, you know, we welcome this conversation because, unfortunately, there aren't too many people in the media who wanna hear the actual historical fact of the Columbus legacy. It just doesn't fit their narrative. So let me tell you that I'll start off by saying, all of the things that people hear about Columbus being a bad guy, mistreating the indigenous people that he met, holding slaves, it's all false. There's not an ounce of historical, factual documentation that would go to that and confirm any of that. In fact, it's just the opposite. Columbus never owned a slave. As a matter of fact, on his first voyage back to Spain, he brought five of the indigenous people that he encountered and made friends with that tribe, one of whom he adopted, and they baptized all of them when they got to Spain, and they were all friendly.
Right, and isn't it true that this was a very peaceful nation that he sought to give legal rights to?
Absolutely. He encountered no problems. In fact, his diary and his logs say that the people that he did encounter were very fine, peace-loving people. And he thought he was going to be able to convert all of them to Christianity. That was his second goal. His first goal was to find a passage to India, and he bumped into the Caribbean islands. He made friends with the chief of the Tianos. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes.
And they became fast friends. And the only tribe that he actually had a problem with was I can't tell you the name.
The
but Carib. They were cannibals.
They were
the Caribs. The Caribs. Yes. And they were cannibals. And they on Columbus's return from Spain for his second voyage, the 39 men that he had left behind with the Tianos we're all killed and eaten.
Right.
And so,
and he tried to bring justice to the Americas.
He did. You know, I tell everybody, you know, Columbus did not land in the Garden of Eden. When he landed here, there were tribes practicing cannibalism. There were tribes practicing human sacrifice. And believe it or not, there were tribes conducting slavery. So it's nothing that he introduced. And the slavery that we know today did not come upon the Americas until the Dutch came 100 years later. So he really is a maligned man. And it's unfortunate. We're all for celebrating Indigenous People Day. We just don't think it should fall on Columbus Day, especially since they already have 3 days named locally, United States-wise, and nationally to celebrate Indigenous People Day. The state of Illinois, about 4 or 5 years ago, named the last Monday in September to celebrate Indigenous People Day. The United States, years ago, designated the Friday after Thanksgiving as Native American Day for them to celebrate their heritage. And the United Nations, sometime in the 80s, proclaimed, I believe it's August 6th or August 9th, as Indigenous Peoples Day to be celebrated throughout the world. And in the Caribbean, that's a big holiday for them. They love Columbus. So, you know, I hate to sound like a bad guy, but how many days do you need to celebrate your heritage, and why does it have to be on Columbus Day?
That's right, because they're trying to change the narrative. And the truth is what we're about, and we want people to know and make their own decisions, but they need facts. And it's interesting.
They do.
Interesting. I was a former prosecutor, and it's interesting that at one point, these Indigenous people sent Christopher Columbus home in irons to be tried, and the king and queen heard the evidence and found him not guilty and released him.
Yes. You know, the only two or three deaths that you can attribute to Columbus is he actually hung his own men for mistreating the Indigenous people.
That's correct.
And but no, you know, it just doesn't fit the narrative. It's really, and the other problem that we face is that grammar schools, high schools, and colleges and universities throughout the United States, about 80% of them are teaching this revisionist history. And we just can't seem to get through to them to actually sit down and talk to Columbus scholars. They just won't do it.
Interestingly enough, another one of the claims against Columbus was that he was motivated by a greed and selfish lust for gold. And yet, historical records prove that this claim is false and that he didn't even care about the gold. He wanted money to help the king and queen launch a crusade to recapture Jerusalem, but gold meant nothing to the people where he was, the Taino tribe and the Caribs.
Yeah.
They didn't care. And he was the one that made this people that came over on the boat with him, he made them give the Indigenous people a fair price for that gold, not just
Absolutely.
To take it as a gift.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other amazing thing that nobody wants to touch upon is, had it not been for Columbus's voyages, what I think was a great happening for the New World was the colonization of the New World with Western European culture and civilization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these poor people that were here didn't know what a piece of iron or metal was as far as instruments. They didn't know about growing crops. They didn't know what a horse was. Those were all benefits that happened to the Indigenous people that were already here. You know, to say that if Columbus had not landed here, nobody else would have, and that you know, there would have been a different result is really taking it way to not over to into left field, but into another ballpark. That's a terrible assumption to make. Nothing bad would have happened to anybody. Again, the tribes that were here were practicing slavery amongst themselves.
Right.
And so, you know, for people to blame Columbus for the practice of slavery is beyond reproach. It's just not a factual thing that anybody can hang their hat on.
Right, and we remember that his goal was sailing across the Atlantic in the hopes of reaching Asia, who
right.
had never heard the word of God. And to quote Christopher Columbus, he wanted to teach them about God, and he wrote down in his diary that God was, quote, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. And so it was there that Columbus wanted to bring God to these nations. It wasn't a separate, you know, he wasn't doing this for himself.
Absolutely. In fact, nobody realizes that I think it was the last 5 years of Columbus's life, he actually lived the life of a Franciscan. He wore Franciscan garb, and he was buried in Franciscan garb.
I did not know that, Lou. That's
yes.
a really interesting fact.
Yes, he lived the life of a Franciscan. He was such a devout Catholic. So for those people to hang him with slavery, mistreatment of people, human beings, he loved everybody.
Right. And he even went and fought battles with little skirmishes with the Caínos that were the with the Caribs who had captured the Taínos, and they were raping the women so that the women could have babies that they then would eat. And the Caribs, that's where we get our word cannibalism from. So
yes.
Christopher Columbus was making the New World a better place with just his presence and by him bringing God to these islands. But he also was rescuing these peaceful tribes, the members of these peaceful tribes, and holding the Caribs accountable.
Well, thank you for this time. So that we can hopefully educate a few people.
Good.
I really must go because
yes,
I have to get this parade on the street.
I'm so grateful to you, Lou. Thanks. You have a great parade. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming on. And you got a great day for it. This Wednesday, October 13th at 6 p.m., we're going to ask, please join with the parishes of Our Lady's Triangle, St. Stanislaus Kostka, St. John Cantius, and Holy Trinity with their pastors in a major Marian procession that will include members of the Chicago Police, the Chicago Fire Department, medical personnel, clergy, and religious coming to pray the Rosary for Peace in Chicago. During the procession, the Rosary will be prayed in English, Spanish, and Polish. The procession begins with Mass at 6 p.m. at St. John Cantius, 825 North Carpenter in Chicago, then on to Holy Trinity and ending at St. Stanislaus Kostka. In 1917, the Blessed Virgin Mary, appeared to three shepherd children in Fatima, bringing a message of conversion, peace, and hope. In memory of this event, you are invited to process and pray the Rosary for Peace this Wednesday. For complete information, please visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org and scroll down to events.
The winds of change.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the blue mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
I'm Loretta Fralick, filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and next up is Mary Fiorito, our co-host. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Loretta, how are you today?
Just grand, darling. How about yourself?
I am doing well, thank you. Happy Columbus Day.
Happy Columbus Day. I'm sure you heard, we just hit Lou Rago from the parade. He came on and talked to us about how wonderful Christopher Columbus was when he first landed here, and we had a real nice chat, so... hoping he can come back with more truths about Christopher.
Yeah,
and
was always such a wonderful day when I was in grade school, because the grade school I went to, St. Angelo Merici, of course, she was an Italian saint, so our school always got invited to march in the parade.
Well, Mary, how exciting. That's something else we have in common.
Back good memories.
Yes, I was too in the parade. But
were you?
Yes.
Oh.
I worked for a guy who was running for office, and three of us got to ride on his float. It was great.
Of course. How fun.
Yes.
Great memories.
Yes. But my other memory is, you know, it was the only day that Catholic schools, and my mother, who was a public school teacher, had the same day off. And this was the day we cleaned our closets and transferred our summer clothes to our winter clothes. So it was pretty hard to be home cleaning with your brothers and sisters.
Right. But, well, I don't know that we'll be winter clothes anytime this heat wave keeps up. This is ridiculous.
Isn't it? But I will tell you, Mary, a Saturday I was in the lake. It was warm enough to take a walk on the beach and get in the lake.
I mean, as much as I like the warm weather and we'll be complaining in the winter, I've had enough now. I put all the kids. Summer clothes away, I get them back out, I put them away,
And wait, anyway. Mary, wait for the winter driving to start.
Yep. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Speaking of driving,
back into reality, yes.
You are working really hard on the parental notification. Tell us what's going on. Can you just fill in for our listeners what the parental notification bill is?
Yeah, well, thank you for squeezing me onto the show today. This is a really, really important issue for anyone who is the parent of a teenage girl in the state of Illinois or in any of our surrounding states. Right now, as it stands, the only pro-life law left on the books in the state of Illinois is what we call the Parental Notification of Abortion Act. So what this law requires is for the abortionist or the abortion clinic staff to notify the parent or guardian or grandparent of a minor girl who is seeking an abortion 48 hours before they do the abortion procedure on her. And this is just common sense. No one should be able to do a irreversible surgical procedure on your child without telling you. And again, this is just notification. It is not parental consent. The parent can say, there's no way I want you touching my daughter and killing my grandchild. And the abortionist can say, well, too bad, so sad, I've notified you, the end, and still do the procedure. So this is simply notification. But even notification is too much for the abortion lobby in the state of Illinois. In the last 5 years alone, Planned Parenthood has been gearing up to get rid of this law because all of the surrounding states of Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Missouri, Kentucky, Michigan, all have some kind of parental involvement in abortion on their books. So what they have done, again, just the last 5 or 6 years, they built a mega clinic, a mega abortion clinic, Planned Parenthood did, on the Illinois border with Missouri. So it's just over on the Illinois side, bumping up to Missouri. They built a mega clinic in Flossmoor, Illinois, which is about 15 minutes from the Indiana border. And during the pandemic, at the height of the pandemic, where people couldn't get necessary medical care, like mammograms and cancer screenings, Planned Parenthood was permitted by Governor J.B. Pritzker to open a massive new abortion clinic in Waukegan, Illinois, so 10, 15 minutes away from the Wisconsin border. So they have been gearing up to get ready to be able to perform abortions on teenage girls coming from overstate without their parents even knowing. And this is really, at the end of the day, it's not an abortion issue. This is a parental rights issue. If they can do, you know, again, irreversible surgical procedures on your daughter without your consent, what's next? Can you give a child sex change hormones without your consent? Can you perform a double mastectomy on a young girl and gender dysphoria without her parents' knowledge or consent? Where are we going to draw the line here? This is ridiculous. When my 17-year-old recently had her vaccine for COVID, I had to go with her. My signing the form was not enough. I had to be physically present with her and her parents. But yet, if she had wanted to go and get a second trimester abortion at, say, Family Planning Associates, which is not far from the studio there, Loretta, right in downtown Chicago, they do elective abortions, meaning healthy moms, healthy baby, right up until the 6 months of pregnancy. She could have, if the parental notice repeal had happened, she could go in there and get this abortion without even telling me, and without the clinic having to tell me. So it's very, very bad. We know abortion has complications, both physical, psychological, you know, emotional, spiritual, and to let a young woman go through that, a young teenage girl, and again, teenage girls not necessarily known for thinking rationally all the time, you know, that frontal lobe of the brain is, as we know from brain science, isn't fully formed until the age of 25, so they are really incapable, all the studies tell us, of making decisions that will impact and have long-term consequences. So they are unable to kind of rationally think about what their future might be. So this is a peril for all sorts of different reasons. But,
oh,
you know,
well, Mary, as a former prosecutor, who is bringing an underage child to get an abortion? That's been a criminal act that's been committed on this child.
Well, and two, you know, this is a heyday for sex traffickers. In fact, one of the witnesses that we have brought forward who's testified on behalf of keeping the parental notification law intact is a survivor of sex trafficking. She began to be trafficked when she was 11 and was trafficked up until the time she was 16 or 17. She was taken to four different abortion clinics by her traffickers. And, you know, it brings tears to my eyes every time I think about her testimony. She said, if only one person had been required to call my mother, she would have known what street I was on. She could have figured out what city I was in. But because, you know, her traffickers took her to states where parental notification was not in place, they got her the abortion. She was back out on the street, you know, later that afternoon. So it's just a horrific thing that we are going to be empowering sex traffickers, you know, but we have even Catholic legislators and the Illinois General Assembly who are willing to vote for this. It's a terrible affront to parental rights and just completely inconsistent with any kind of ethical standard for informed consent for minors.
Well, help me with this, Mayor. What is the problem with telling the parent? The parent can't stop it?
Yeah, what the abortion lobby is saying is, you know, this will, you know, endanger girls who might have an abusive parent. But the law already has built into it an exception for girls who are victims of abuse. They have to report that abuse. So the law already has an exception where it protects girls who may, in those rare circumstances, may be abused by a parent if the parent finds out she's pregnant. Essentially, the problem with this, the abortion industry, again, I mentioned the three new clinics that they have built now in the last 5 years. They are poised to make as much money as they can from these girls coming over the border. This is about money. This is about them getting extra profits from extra abortions that they will get from girls, minor girls coming over the state lines, that they will get from girls, you know, who are able to sneak around their parents. You know, not to even tell parents. Again, as I mentioned, the parent does not have to agree. This is just notification. And for parents not to be told about something so life-altering, no pun intended, but life-ending and life-altering as your 14, 15, 16-year-old daughter having an abortion, it's just atrocious. But this is how empowered and emboldened the abortion industry is here with J.B. Pritzker, our governor, you know, backing them 100%. You know, Illinois is already something of an abortion tourist mecca because we offer free abortions for anyone who is on Medicaid, anyone who is a state employee, or anyone from out of state who can say that if they lived in Illinois, they would be on Medicaid. So it's something called presumed eligibility. So we can give free abortion. You know, it's interesting to see how all the abortion numbers in the states surrounding us have gone down, but that's because a lot of these women are coming across the border to have abortions at our, you know, the clinic in Waukegan near the Wisconsin border, or in Flossmoor near the Indiana border, or downstate near the Missouri border. And so it's a really horrific situation. We know traffickers are going to take advantage of it, and it's so, so important. Listeners, if I can ask you to do anything today, It would be either to go to the website for the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and there's a link that you can click on there that will tell you how to contact your Illinois House representative. We already know, we've done the vote counting in the Senate. The bill is going to be introduced in the Senate this week. We know we've already lost there. We do not have the votes to keep parental notice intact. However, we do have the votes in the House, but we have to make sure that state representatives, House representatives, know that this is what their constituents want, and that we will call them out if they don't vote in favor of keeping parental notice intact.
Okay. Mary, again, you just pointed out some important points, one of which was you called this abortion free. But all of our listeners in Illinois, this abortion is paid for by your tax dollars.
Correct.
It's my tax dollars.
Right. Exactly. And you know, Loretta, there's no limit on the number of abortions you can have. You can go every other month for a free abortion, a taxpayer-funded abortion, taxpayer-subsidized abortion. There's no limit. There's no limit legally. There's no limit medically. And so this is a way, I think, you know, it's really sad when you look at, for example, Texas, and this is what J.B. Pritzker has been trying to get, encourage companies from Texas to come to Illinois where, you know, we support abortion up until the moment of birth. And, you know, but you look at Texas, and if you have a poor pregnant woman in Texas, she is able to avail herself of what is called the Texas Alternatives to Abortion Act, which provides funding for this woman and her child up until the age of 3. It provides housing, child care, diapers, car seats, strollers, job training, job placement, and all these wonderful wraparound social services, everything that woman needs until a child is age 3. And some of the private agencies, Catholic Charities, for example, have contributed additional private funding so that they can support a woman and her child until age 5, so the child begins kindergarten and then there's less of a need for child care. So you look at that beautiful, holistic, humane, compassionate response to a poor woman getting pregnant, and you look what we do in Illinois. They get a free abortion, as many free abortions as they want. So it makes me wonder, does our governor believe that it's better to abort the poor than to care for them? I mean, if this is how we're treating the poor in the state of Illinois, it's very racist, it's classist, and it is just the most uncompassionate way to deal with a poor woman who is pregnant, to say to her, hey, we've got your free abortion. Can't help you with anything else, but you can have as many free abortions as you want in the state of Illinois, and our taxpayers will pay for all of it.
Well, it's incredible, Mayor, and it's a great thing that you are out there on the front lines. In addition to calling Catholic Conference of Illinois, what else would you suggest our listeners do?
Well, I would very much appreciate the prayers of anyone who has a prayer or two to spare for our team, who is going to be down in Springfield next week, working on keeping the parental notice bill intact. I'm going to be testifying before the Illinois General Assembly, as well a number of other people. If your listeners would pray for us, surround us with prayer, everyone who's going to be testifying, our travel, the words that come out of our mouth. But the most important thing is not only to call your local House representative, but ask one or two friends or family members to do the same. And it's very easy to do. There's nothing to be intimidated about. You can either do it via email or you can call. The Catholic Conference of Illinois has made this so easy for everyone. But it's really important. Do it yourself and ask one or two friends. And please pray for our team that is trying to keep parental notice intact.
Well, Mary, we will certainly pray for you and pray for Bob Gilligan and all of those that are leading the fight with you. And we are so grateful that someone as knowledgeable and as eloquent as you are out there on the front lines, and it can only go well.
Well, it's my privilege, and you know, another good resource is Illinois Right to Life. So, Illinois, you know, if listeners are not Catholic or they'd rather be more involved with a non-religious institution that's pro-life, Illinois Right to Life also has ample resources and talking points and ways that you can contact your state House representative.
Well, we will get those links up on the website. And so, listeners, if you didn't have a pen, you can check on our website, and you will be able to, on the website for the show, you'll be able to see where it is you can reach out. So, Mary, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we miss you.
Okay, well, listeners, I'll be back next Monday. We've got a great show.
Yes.
With Matt Rosenberg lined up for next Monday. It's going to be fantastic, and I'll be back in person.
Terrific. Well, you keep up the great work, Mayor, and thank you for coming on in
you're
the midst
welcome.
Of all you're doing.
Okay. Well, thank you, Loretta, for handling the show by yourself today. I really appreciate it.
It's great, Mayor. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, God bless you for the rest of the show.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye now.
All right. Bye. I'm Loretta Frelick, and you know that I'm filling in for Father Anthony Bush on Winds of Change, and that was my co-host, Mary Fiorito, on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM, WFSI. And this Wednesday, October 13th at 6 p.m., please join with the parishes of Our Lady's Triangle, St. Stanislaus Kostka, St. John Cantius, and Holy Trinity with their pastors in a major Marian procession that will include members of the Chicago Police, the Chicago Fire Department, medical personnel, clergy, and religious coming to pray the rosary for peace in Chicago. During the procession, the rosary will be prayed in English, Spanish, and Polish. The procession begins with Mass at 6 p.m. at St. John Cantius, 825 North Carpenter in Chicago, then on to Holy Trinity, and ending at St. Stanislaus Kostka. In 1917, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to three shepherd children in Fatima, bringing a message of conversion, peace, and hope. In memory of this event, you are invited to process and pray the Rosary for Peace this Wednesday. For complete information, please visit ststanischurch.org. That's ststanischurch.org, and scroll down to events.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, and you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Loretta Frelick on Winds of Change. And our next guest is Dr. Ken Torrens. Ken, are you there?
I am here, Loretta. How are you today?
I'm fabulous. How about you?
Wonderful, always.
Well, I know that. I know that about you, and you've got a tremendous joy and energy that comes only from the Lord. And I want to welcome you to the show to talk about Battle College 2, the Sword of Prayer. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, we are. We're going to have a day this Saturday, October 16th, where we're going to pray with the men who are in attendance. We're going to teach them the fundamentals of prayer, and then we're going to turn around and start putting that prayer into action. So this is one of the three offerings that A Man Among Men does. This is our practical, strategical way to equip men to take on the biggest battles and challenges of their life, and that's why we call it the Battle College.
Well, tell us about A Man Among Men.
A Man Among Men started in 2017 with a group of us who went away on a retreat with Father Bruce Wren to Northern Idaho. And we're just hanging out and like just having this, you know, this roughing it retreat and everything. And we start to think, there were just a few of us, you know what? There's no men's conference in Chicago. There's one up in Milwaukee. There's another big one like out in Akron. I lived 18 years in Phoenix and there's a great one out there. And there wasn't one here. So we're like, well, let's build one. And that's what we did. So we started out with a group of three of us. We grew up to seven of us who worked as a team. And we pulled off two conferences so far. The first was in 2019. And then last year, it was actually the last thing that happened in the Archdiocese of Chicago before things closed up for COVID. And that conference is a day for men to come on out to hear really, really good talks about their Catholic faith, about being a better man as a Catholic. And, you know, so we started out, we've gotten a few hundred men to those conferences, and we're looking to grow. And ultimately, you know, we have three offerings now. We've got the men's conference, we've got the Battle College, and this summer we also had another one we call the Wild Man Outdoor Adventure Retreat, where we took 16 guys up to northern Wisconsin and just had a blast. 3 days of whitewater rafting, start each day with prayer, end each day with prayer, with mass, have a couple of talks, play some paintball. We did a bocce tournament all weekend. It was just a ton of fun, just a total immersion event. So this is what a Man Among Men is all about. It's about really getting guys together, so, you know, living our faith together, and also equipping ourselves with the skill sets.
Well, it sounds like an awfully fun weekend. I wish I could sign up. Now, this your Battle College 2. So that means there's been a Battle College 1. Okay, and that was last year or before COVID.
Yes. So we had the first Battle College was in November of 19, and so we had that then, and then the following March 6th of 2020, we had the second men's conference. Okay. So all these are coming along, and like I said, we're committing now to doing these three events each year. It's a little bit different in theme and how we pull it off.
And this conference, your flyer says, get your prayer life up to a whole new level. Why do men need to get their prayer life up to a whole new level?
Well, first of all, the challenge is that when you do surveys about what men are looking for, mm-hmm. what you'll find is that they're not necessarily so much looking to get into a prayer group. Some mm-hmm. guys are into that. But what guys really want is more lessons in how to actually develop their prayer life. Now, the key thing is that if you're going to be an on-fire apostle to Jesus Christ, the only way that you're really ever going to do that is by having a very deep encounter with him, like St. Paul did. Boom, let's get knocked off, you know, off the horse or whatnot. You know, so that doesn't happen so dramatically for people. So what's the other turn? Is to teach people, how do you actually turn off the noise outside of you? How do you engage in the battle of prayer? Because we're all subject to things like distraction, where the time that we can set aside for this, the place within the home. So, like, for instance, I have a small prayer chapel in my house, and it's part of another room, and it takes about, you know, 4 by 5 feet. So we've got a little altar, we've got a kneeler, we've got a crucifix. These are things that guys can learn to do. And when you start to get into this rhythm of making your time, your communion with Christ a priority, then what happens is the Holy Spirit really takes you and starts to mold you into another Christ, so that way you can be launched and go out there. And this is ultimately where prayer has to get to, right?
Right.
It can't be something that is just this internal thing. It has to be transformative, so that you go out there and you reach that next person, whether it's that next person in your family, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's somebody out on the street that just happens to have a need. Your prayer is extending directly to those people, and you become effective for Christ.
Well, you know, your last conference talk is A Life Worth Living or Things Worth Dying For. Were you always there, Ken, or did you come to this moment?
No, I wasn't always there. I didn't, you know, I say to people, I didn't just pop, you know, out of the womb like that. I went through personally a lot of struggles. I lived, you know, up to the age of 15 within a Catholic family. Then the next 15 years, not really very much at all. And when I found my life really empty and failing, I just said, you know what, Lord, I'm gonna mess with my life doing things my way. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And step by step, it was this process. So from, you know, age 29 to 35, I got very much informed by being in front of the Blessed Sacrament for many, many hours. By praying with my wife, I started to, you know, come to be the man that I am now. And then, you know, I in 1998, I had the great fortune of of meeting Regnum Christi, which is the ecclesial movement that I'm a member of. And that's how I met you, through, you know, through the movements where that, that will organize the meetings of the movements at the archdiocese level. And, you know, through my experience with Regnum Christi, I was, by receiving regular spiritual direction, by engaging in apostolic activities, I came to understand that there is this nature within me that God has placed in there, but in the right soil planted, and everybody's got a different place, a different charism that's going to be appropriate for them. But when that seed is planted and it's nurtured, it's going to grow, and you're going to become that person that God is calling you to be, for each one of us to become those men and women of the kingdom that we need, especially in struggling times like we have right now.
Amen. Now, one of your another one of your conference sessions is Praying in the Real Presence, the Mass to Eucharistic Adoration. That can be pretty difficult sitting in silence. How did you acquire a love for being in front of the Blessed Sacrament?
Oh, boy, Loretta, you know how to ask the good ones there. So first of all, for me, it was really interesting. When I was at, you know, the early catechism for me, up around age 11 or 12, and, you know, transubstantiation was put in front of me, it naturally made sense to me. And I don't know why or anything else. And when I came back to the church, I didn't know about Eucharistic adoration. And the Lord picked me up at that time out of Chicago. When I came back, the Lord picked me up out of Chicago, dropped me off in Phoenix, Arizona with my wife. And we were at St. Maria Goretti Parish in Scottsdale.
Sure.
And they had one of the most beautiful, dedicated 24/7 Eucharistic adoration chapels. And I went there, and it was like I just knew I was in the presence of Christ and where I was supposed to be. And in the next 3 years, I spent over 1,000 hours before the Blessed Sacrament. And like I say to people, if you spend an hour a day with Christ over a 3 years period of time, something's gonna shift for you. So when Father Bruce and I were coming up with the curriculum for Battle College this year, we were looking at these different things from, you know, the fundamentals of an effective prayer life. And then we know what happens to somebody when they're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but they won't necessarily know really how to approach Christ in that way. And, you know, because maybe they're very familiar with the rosary and praying that way, or offering prayer at meal. But coming before the Blessed Sacrament is different. So Father David Mowry, who is the chair of homiletics at Mundelein Seminary, he is just, because he's the chair of homiletics, right, he's just a fabulous preacher. I asked him, do you think with your spirit, your outgoing spirit, your engaging style of talking with guys, that you could take on this subject matter? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. And so he's going to present what happens with truth in the Mass, with the consecration of the Mass, and how we come into the real presence of Christ in that moment, and then how Christ is available to us in Eucharistic adoration. So he's going to take us through that journey, and right after that, we are going to have the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, and we're going to have a guided meditation, which is going to enable the men to actually take the steps of quieting their soul, of being able to decipher the different ideas of the things which are either bringing them close to Christ or the ones which are keeping them. And how do you separate yourself, right? How do you get quiet in that moment? And then from there, we're going to continue in a process of silence for the next 45 minutes up until we do the benediction. So again, this fits into this whole theme of teaching about prayer, praying together, being able to discuss what's happened. And then hopefully, with the men, we're going to be able to be with each guy in such a way that we understand, hey, do you have a spiritual director? Is that being effective for you? Do you know how even to acquire a spiritual director? So that then you can have somebody who is going to accompany you on this road to becoming the man of the kingdom that you're called to be.
Wow, I wish I could come. It sounds like just a great event. How do we find out more about this upcoming conference?
Anybody out there listening, The direct way to do this would go to our website, which is www.amanamongmenchicago.com. And as you scroll down, you'll see some of the features, like the list of the things that are happening with the Battle College, too. And then you'll see areas on there where, like in Reddit, says register. And you click that, that'll take you to an Eventbrite link. And you have until the evening of the 13th, so I believe that's this Thursday evening, something like that, to register to come to the event.
Okay. Well, now, one of the things that I noticed when I had the privilege of helping you, is there are a lot of men that bring their sons. And what a great way to be a dad, to tell your child not only is your baseball and your school achievement important, but so is your personal relationship with Jesus. And I think that that's so terrific that that's something that you make it a family event, a dads and sons event.
I couldn't agree with you more. One of the videos, we're playing one video during this Battle College.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking for a video montage, and fortunately, the Knights of Columbus have done things. Our first Battle College was based on the apostolic exhortation of Bishop Thomas Olmsted, who I just had the wonderful privilege of being under his tutelage as my bishop for the years when
wow.
I was living in Phoenix. And he's so close to the men. And he wrote into the brief, and it's like, how do we go to there? And the Knights of Columbus have made a series of videos, I think it's 12 or 13 of them, on Into the Breach, and we're going to be utilizing one of them, which shows this importance of prayer, but prayer right in front of our other family members. You know, you don't have to say too much to your boys. When they walk on by the bedroom and they see you at the foot of the bed on your knees, or like in my case, I've got this lounge room with the kneeler there. It's a central priority of the life that I have with my wife. We frequently have priests or consecrated men and women who would come to our house. That's their natural thing. The problem is that when your church life, your spiritual life, is almost like a segment on a wheel of life. Oh yeah, that's what we do on Sundays. It doesn't seem to be the thing to your family members of being the central importance. But when my sons know, and my daughter also, just they know explicitly that Christ is the center of our life. Yeah, whether it's some of the way the art in the house is, or we have the areas where we can be calm and be in God's presence, they know that, and we're witnessing to them. They're witnessing us. The prayers between us, everything, it becomes the culture of the family. And you know what? You can't twist the spirituality, the charism into your kids. You just have to live the life and trust that from this example, that Christ is, through his Holy Spirit, is holding that family together through all the trials, all the tribulations of life, and that when you have that opportunity to come through some experience of your life and you knew that God was there, then it becomes a no-brainer that God's going to be with you for the rest of your life. And I can even say to this particular summer at the Wild Man, two of my five boys came on that with us. And Paul the Bruce had asked, around the campfire one night, some different questions. And my son Seth would go, you know what? I'm 25 years old, and I don't exactly get this, but all I know is that I love being with you guys, being with in this environment, doing these things. And, I'm 58 years old. He's not as formed as I am. And I was nobody when I was 25 years old. So I'm not going to get too bent out of shape about where he is, because guess what? We're all in God's hands. And if we truly, truly live that and not make it like, oh, yeah, that's some kind of like, advertising statement. No, everything about my life is that God has it, right? I'm in his hands. He's in control. Everything that's going on in the world right now, why are we getting bent out of shape? It's in God's hands. You just have to know what God wants of you today. What does he prefer for you today? And everything else is going to take care of itself.
Well, Ken, when we come back from our next break, we're going to hear more about that. I'm Loretta Fralick, filling in for Father Anthony. Bush on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI. This Wednesday, October 13th at 6 p.m., please join the parishes of Our Lady's Triangle, St. Stanislaus Kostka, St. John Cantius, and Holy Trinity, with their pastors in a major Marian procession that will include members of the Chicago Police, the Chicago Fire Department, medical personnel, clergy, and religious, coming to pray the Rosary for peace in Chicago. During this procession, the Rosary will be prayed in English, Spanish, and Polish. The procession begins with Mass at 6 p.m. at St. John Cantius, 825 North Carpenter in Chicago, then on to Holy Trinity and ending at St. Stanislaus Kostka. In 1917, Our Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to three shepherd children in Fatima, bringing a message of conversion, peace, and hope. In memory of this event, you are invited to process and pray the Rosary for peace this Wednesday. For complete information, please visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org, and scroll down to events.
The winds of change.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the blue mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back. This is Loretta Freilich with Dr. Ken Torrance, and we are talking about his upcoming event, which is Battle College 2, The Sword of Prayer. And, you know, Ken, you talked so beautifully about how it impacts your boys. You got any stories from some of the past men's events that have brought men closer to the Lord?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have to reveal any names. a very personal story. I've got a couple here, but one is very personal. With I had a son who, right near the end of college, he had one of his best friends had, unfortunately, a schizophrenic break and committed suicide right in front of him. He basically ran out of their apartment window and crashed, and my son was there, and he was really in a suffering place, you know, for quite a while with this. And he was not able to come to our first men's conference. He was out of town. And so my son came to the second one in 2020, and the funny thing was I didn't see him because I was in all the preparation. I was the MC of the event and things like that. And he was able to come before he had to get off to work that day at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And he left me this text message about how everything that was such a pain inside of his heart over all things that had transpired in the previous year, at that point it was about 10 months. He was able to be there to receive confession, and he felt completely the Holy Spirit come on over him and heal him of all this distortion that was going on inside of him. And you know, when I read this, I had to go back on the, you know, in the afternoon as I'm going to introduce the next speaker, and I said, I just need to stop, man, and tell you something. This is the text message that I just received from my son, and I read it to them. And you know, I'm basically in tears, and I'm like, this is what it's all about. For you as a man, for any person to be so disposed in a place of your life that you could invite another person to come to something that you think is important, if that's possibly going to shift them, then I'm getting some crazy feedback there. In that situation, if you're able to bring somebody to an event that you know that you're going to be very close to the Lord, there's always a possibility of a life-changing event happening for somebody.
Amen.
So we definitely experience something like that. Then, you know, it's the host of things where, you know, after an event, you start to get the emails coming on in. And people, you know, my neighbors, my friends, you know, ought to have been here. But the other ones are, you know, this is amazing how much this shifted my life. And that's the whole thing. It's like, you know what? I was saying to you before, we were just a few guys when we got started with something like this. And it's like, hey, we don't have a conference, so let's build one ourselves. You've got to have some type of spiritual audacity, that those impressions that the Holy Spirit gives to you, that you take some action on that. And when you know, and we individually, we don't have the skill sets to get everything taken care of. You get together with some other people and you group together and you make something happen. Why? Not because of yourself, but because you truly believe in the transformative power of God in your life, and that the kingdom is real. The kingdom is visiting us here.
Amen.
Right now for those of us who choose for that to happen, right? Because, again, you could wear Catholic clothes and not be having a complete Christian experience. But when you give yourself completely over to that, you will transform the lives of other people. You will participate in that because God has taken you, put you in a place, asked you to do something, you do it. Now you connect to the other people in your community, and then they start to have that experience. And when you really care enough about other people, you'll start to accompany them a bit more, right? And it's like the next thing you know, hey, they're hanging around you, they're in your social group now, not in the other 5, 6, 7, 8 social groups that aren't really benefiting them. We know there's only one thing that's truly going to make a difference in people's lives. And you know, I'm a doctor, and I say this to my patients. You know, they're getting older and stuff like that. I'm like, hey, you know, except for the Christian option, most of what happens to us in our bodies as we get to the end point isn't very nice, right? The end point isn't very good. But we do know with the Christian option,
amen,
right, that it's not only our lives are better today, the lives of people around us are better because the lens of our life shifts and changes. And then we know we're walking with the Lord consistently to our eternity, right?
Amen. Well, Ken, you know what I feel. Normal Christianity is supernatural, and the supernatural is just normal Christianity. And that's what we want to be working in. And so I really thank you for coming on the program this afternoon. If anybody would like to find out more, you want to go to the website that Ken mentioned, and you can also purchase tickets at www.eventbrite.com /e/BCP2-tickets. And we just wish you every good blessing with this event and the Sword of Prayer. What a great conference title. Thank you so much, Ken. As always, it goes really, really fast. Don't forget to be supporting Archbishop Cordeleon's campaign to reach out to Nancy Pelosi by saying a rosary for her. We also want to remind you that the Holy Spirit celebration will be held on October 22nd at 7 p.m. with the Catholic Charismatic Renewal at St. Luke Church. Give our website a look and join us to just praise the Lord. Keep on praising. We'll be back next week. God bless you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears. be strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.